Hi, welcome to another episode of Why Didn't They Laugh? I'm your host, Owen Benjamin. I'm going to keep this intro extremely short because I actually took the time to make a really well-constructed episode today. I did Vancouver. I did Yuck Yucks. It was a great time. And I worked with this guy named Ross. Really brilliant. Really just awesome guy. And so we recorded a conversation together, a Why Didn't They Laugh in the green room, in between shows. And I was re-listening to it. I was going to put it up maybe on the Patreon page or something. And I realized that like there was just a lot of stuff in there that I found really interesting. And I've been really into this guy, Jordan Peterson, lately, a professor out of Toronto. And in the conversation with Ross, I realized that he wasn't aware of him. And so I cut in a lot of audio about Jordan Peterson, about free speech, about the things that I'm really passionate about. And I know you are too, the listeners of this show. I cut in all the, like when Ross and I are talking about something that happened at the show, you know, an hour before we're talking, I have that on tape. So I've been putting all those beats in during this conversation. So you're not going to hear from me until the end. I'll say bye or something. But I really enjoyed making this. And Jordan Peterson is one of my absolute heroes. He reminds me a lot of my parents. He's a clinical psychiatrist or psychologist at the University of Toronto. He taught at Harvard. He's just this brilliant guy. He loves mythology. And, you know, he's got one of the coolest Christianities I've ever been in contact with. It reminds me a lot of my mother. He was just on Sam Harris's show, who's one of the most famous atheists in the world, him and Richard Dawkins. And they had a really pleasant conversation because I think the way Peterson frames Christianity is it doesn't really contradict science at all. And he's very, I find him just very correct. Like he's measured, he thinks, and he's being persecuted right now on a degree that I can't imagine. And I really want to make his story more known. And yeah, he thinks of Christianity in the way of Jesus being the meta-human, like the ultimate human. Like thousands of years of stories about how to be truly kind and good, and it all culminate together in this one book. And he talks about Cain and Abel and what that represents. And, you know, and he's like, of course, I don't think it's literal. He's like, but these are the things that we should aspire to be as a people. And he's not, and he doesn't negate other religions. He's just, that's so rare. And I need it so bad in my life because that's how my mother was with me with children's literature. And for those Christians out there that feel like I just insulted their religion by comparing it with children's literature, I promise you it is actually a massive compliment because the things that make children's stories and Christianity and Buddhism and Shintoism and a lot of these things so powerful is because they're so true on such a deep, basic level. And, you know, people can get wound up on the details about, you know, not eating shellfish or something because refrigeration hadn't been invented yet. But there is a moment with Sam Harris when Jordan Peterson said, you know, Sam's grilling him on scientific truth, you know, and I knew what Sam was going to do. And I'm a fan of Sam Harris. And then Jordan said, you know, I've been thinking a lot about our last conversation, and I just want to ask you, do you think there's any truth in Shakespeare? Is there truth in Dostoevsky? And that was such a brilliant, eye-opening moment where you're like, these aren't facts, but there's deep human truth in it. And then look at like a spreadsheet from like a local, you know, city assessor that just pages of facts. When I was like 5 or 6 years old, my parents wrote down in my journal, my baby journal or toddler journal, whatever it was called, that I said the quote, "Don't let the facts destroy the knowledge." The story goes that I was in a tree and I just came down and said that to my parents. And I said I was talking to God. And I don't really say that story very often because it makes me sound like a religious nut. But I now realize what that is. It just is what is more than us. It's talking to your future self of what you want to be. And it's letting that voice in your head speak, and that deep feeling of that something, that there are things that are right and there are things that are wrong, and you have to figure out what yours are, and just that pursuit of it. And the importance of truth. Not truth in the Fox against MSNBC fake news battle, who's the biggest liar truth. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your truth. Like truth that has no facts. You know, just are you lying or not? I'm reading this new book called The Secret Lives of Pronouns, about the studies of language and when people talk, what that says about their psyche. And it was done by this professor at University of Texas, I think. I'm not prepared to talk about it. I'm just kind of winging it right now. But it's fairly easy to tell if someone's lying, but you can never tell if they're saying what actually happened, because there's mannerisms, there's words that people use that show deception, but some people aren't deceiving. They actually believe it. Some people, I've always thought that way about Donald Trump, that he lives in a, and I'm not one of the, you'll see in this conversation with Ross, because he's a super intense Canadian socialist, and I'm an American free speech zealot. So there's agreements and disagreements. We both want to take care of people and both believe in freedoms for any minority group, that there shouldn't be this repressive state. But there's a lot of things we disagree on. And I think I just lost my point. I'm like so excited to introduce this, and I was going to keep it so short, and I'm clearly not. But yeah. All right, because I'm also reading 1984 by Orwell. I'm rereading that. And back then, it was about fascism. And now I believe it's about the left. And it could be about the right again, too. There is no right answer between left and right. It's just all about who is trying to oppress people. And the biggest way to oppress someone is speech. And the way to break a horse or train an animal like a wild animal, not like a domestic dog, as you get them to question their own instincts and start accepting things that they know aren't true for a reward. And there's things in our lives now that have gotten so insane, like that there's no biological difference between men and women. And when I have said that to Ross, he didn't even know people were claiming this. This is on national television. Like these things, that isn't true. And for people to say it is just because they don't want to offend the power structure and they don't want to lose their job or be seen as a bigot or a Nazi, because that's the speech. That's right out of 1984. You know, the thought police. You know, and everything's ironic. Like the Ministry of Love is a horror show. And the Ministry of Truth, they put whenever in 1984 in this dystopian future, they constantly rewrite history, like on a daily basis. The Ministry of Truth, they burn any history that doesn't go well for the state, and they rewrite it, and they put it in something called a memory hole, and it goes into an incinerator. And that weird irony you see so much now with the social justice warriors, like the tolerance. Like when they say, why aren't you tolerant? What they're trying to say is, why won't you act exactly how I want you to act when you know in your heart it isn't true? And that's how you break an animal. Okay, so I'm going to let you guys listen to this now because I'm actually really proud of it. Life's been good. Vancouver's great, but this show is our most intense one. So that's why I'm using it as well, because there's some tension in it. A lot of planes got canceled. We got 50 inches of snow here in Saranac Lake. And so we drove from Detroit 3 straight days pretty much and white-knuckled, you know, crazy whiteouts. I'm almost ready to announce my UK tour dates. A Why Didn't They Laugh listener, Aileen, who has just turned out to be such a good human being. Like, it starts with just emails, and then, you know, I got to meet her when I did London with the Impractical Jokers. And then, you know, I had some friction with my agent, and I was just like, dude, I'm just going to have someone else do it that seems really excited about it. Because, you know, agents, they need to make a lot of money. And I'm still at the biggest agency in Hollywood. But it's tough to say, like, I really want to go back to the UK. And they're like, okay, maybe we'll get to that after we book Hillary Clinton's book tour or, you know, DiCaprio's fossil fuel tour. But so she just hooked it up. She did it. She got all the dates. She got good contracts. She just did it. It's like, and that's why every time I mock the internet or like sound like an old man, this curmudgeon being like, these kids in the Snapchats and their stupid filters. It's like what the internet has been allowed us to do now is so unbelievable that it's humbling. And I'm just really glad that I will be coming back there. So if you like this, comment on it, you know, share it, because I don't have a machine behind me to help me. You got to be the ones to help me. And our numbers have been consistent and you guys are loyal and awesome and smart. But this is the future. It's just this connection between human beings. And you can support the podcast on Patreon, patreon.com/WDTL. Whatever you can contribute would be awesome. Because the month of April, I'm staying home. I'm just really going to write. I'm going to finish stuff. I'm doing a script with True TV that just came through. They're interested in this idea. That could be really great. And I'm hopeful. So check out this awesome interview with my buddy Ross. We ended up hanging till like 4 a.m. that night, just arguing and about politics and becoming closer friends. And I'm just really glad I met all those great people in Vancouver. So enjoy. Thank you.
So it was interesting with this one, which you've done before, but this one where you asked, like, what is your logic with that full belly dog thing? Yeah. And the guy, because this guy called out nonsensical stuff a couple times. Yeah. So I called him out a little bit. You go back, the left hand thing, that's funny all the way through. But then when he said that, and then you walk into, you're like, no, just explain. And he goes, and he says, the start, he goes, well? He goes like this, and eventually he's like, oh.
Because you got to be more like dogs, right? They're like, they run across the street, they're like, we're dogs! And the other dog's like, ah, me too! And then there's this weird like tension for a second, and then finally the bravest one is like, so, would any of you gentlemen like to smell my penis? And they're like...
Is that the one with the full belly?
No. See what I mean? That wasn't directly aggressive, it's just like, what? So... The one with the full belly. Well, he's left-handed, so the dog was clearly a Scottish Terrier. Anyway, no, you're fine. You're cool. I mean, you seem fine. But that's just so bizarre. I can't imagine saying these things to people. Is that the guy with the full... Okay, so by your logic, just hear me out, and then I'll finish the joke. So that dog had just eaten because he said the full bellies, right? No, you can talk. I just want to finish this up, and then you'd be quiet. But here. So the dog had just eaten. You said, is that the one with the full bellies?
You said full belly.
Empty balls. Right. But now I'm talking about a dog because time is linear. Things have happened. There's a past, present, and a future. So I was just talking about a dog, and you go, is that the one with the full bellies? So you're saying that dog just ate?
He was the dominant one, so I was following up on your...
Okay, I feel bad now. Like, you're trying to go with my theory.
And then
you're like, what, a coward?
He goes, sorry, I was trying to go with your thing. And I'm like, and that's when I gave him his power back.
Yeah. Because he was like holding him to the thing, because it didn't make sense. But then he really...
That's when I let him off the leash.
Totally. But
no, because, you come at the king, and then when he like, backed down, I was like, okay, if you don't want a coup d'etat, then I will give you your power back, your sovereignty. Well, thanks for believing in me. No, I feel bad now. Because you're like, yeah, man, like I can tell in your voice that you're like trying to participate. In like a fun way. But I just didn't know what the fuck you're talking about. It's cool, man. You're a good dude. I can literally tell you're a good dude. You're like, I was just trying to go with what you just said for your 2020 campaign. Like, I just don't know how it makes sense with a dog just ate. That's all right. I might be wrong. I've been wrong before. It's been a while, but I remember how it felt. Anyway.
But he shrunk so crazily at that like end of that sentence. But then he yelled out again, and then that was the thing. And at the end,
all right, I'll just start doing jokes. I think engaging this crowd is odd. Because you're not aggressive enough for me to have a fun battle with, but you're also not nice enough where it's like pleasurable. So you're like, Gregor. And you're like, what? And you're like, he can spell. And that doesn't trigger my like fight reflex. Like, I don't want to attack that man because he didn't really offend me in any way. But what he's saying is fucking weird and doesn't help me in any way. It's our mayor. Why, is there like a thing where he won a spelling bee recently? Like, is that a news item? Is that what he does? He spells conscientious?
He rides a bike.
He rides a bike?
Everywhere.
Is that, yeah, really? With like 90 oil tankers right out there? That's hysterical. I went jogging today in your wonderful city and there's like literally 90 giant oil tankers. Everyone's like, I rode a bike today instead of driving a car. Just hypocrisy! But I love that. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. Hypocrites can be fun to hang out with because they're like, I ride my bike. That because you don't have to face reality. The Canada's a leading producer of oil, but that's fine. Ride your little bike. I mean, even your national anthem sounds pleasant. It sounds like an 80s sitcom. Oh, Canada. Like America's national anthem is like, and the bombs bursting in air. You guys were like, Canada, oh boy.
And also,
and then after he took like 9 photos with me, he was like, oh, we're both famous one day. And I was like, oh, you're like one of those dudes that like wants to be on stage, but right, doesn't have the balls, yeah, to bomb.
Yeah. See, and you did a very
funny. Can't go through the work part of it.
Yeah. Because he yells out, do a song about me. And the thing
to
was,
you?
To me. And the thing was, is that, so the song was hilarious, but he also, because he was properly zinged, but he also got a song, so I didn't like that.
Thanks, man. Is this, you get one for Gregor?
Sure.
Yeah, right here.
What's your name, pal?
Corey.
Corey. Nice.
It's a beautiful name. It means, it's Irish, Gaelic, it's beautiful. Sing a song about me.
Corey?
Sure.
Corey doesn't know how to shut his fucking mouth.
Like over here, I'm laughing because you're saying like he's not. What you said,
it's
like
a Donald
not a
Trump
man.
Effect.
But, I mean,
it's like people. It's like people
infuriated.
That are. It's a Donald Trump effect. It's the absolute value of negative attention. You know, like in physics, absolute value on negative 8 is still 8.
Yep.
Where it's like how people just tweet about Trump all day long, and I'm like, you're his marketing base.
Right.
Yeah.
That's like that dude. It's like, that dude ruined the show. And he got a personal song.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So he
was rewarded for being shitty.
See, that's
that
what it's like.
Work.
Even though the second zing is huge, because you say, like, Corey can't keep his mouth shut or something like that, but then the second line is something like, he's not a man enough to keep his mouth shut. Like, it was a huge, like, that was a huge zing.
Corey doesn't know how to be a man and shut the fuck up. He has opinions about the Scots, and he called his own name fucking beautiful, cause he is insane. Oh, Corey is insane. All right, so let me just finish. Cheers to you, my friend.
Thanks for coming out.
You remind me of like a polite rapist. You're like, hey, thanks for the reap. And you're like, okay, cool. Can I get you red home? It's like, no, Jesus. Okay.
He's got a ride home.
He's what?
I know.
He's all right. Corey's...
Now, the first time people laugh because it's sort of like, oh, this is fun. And then you, exactly. And I was like, but he also got a song. So I like laughed really hard. And then I was like giving the finger through the wall because I was like, go fuck yourself.
Because I'm less hard on women because I feel like women just naturally will talk more when they're drunk. Yeah. But like when a man does it, I'm like, buddy, like you're a man.
Yeah.
Like you're not supposed to fucking be needy and attention-y when you have a pina colada.
Yeah, have another apple martini that are herb.
Dude, what about the intense Canada shit I was pulling about the hypocrite shit?
Well, that might have
been some Canada bashing.
Well, only because they were like turning on me a bit. Like they were just getting to the point where it was getting like weird. I liked Timberland until he tricked me. I'm not a big fan of being tricked. That's why I don't like magicians. Yeah.
Like, imagine if I acted as weird as you guys. I'll do it back to you. I don't give a shit. Do jokes, I'll just play like the Amelie soundtrack or some bullshit. No jokes. If this is what you want, I'll give you what you want. I'm a man of the people. I was right, you really do prefer this. So anyway, what was I talking about? Timbaland. So Timbaland came out with a song.
And I started getting like, they groaned at something really innocuous.
Again, just pretend you know what the fuck black people are. Just pretend. I can change it. What's your minorities here? Scottish people? I don't even fucking know. Chinese? White people? Oh, in Vancouver? Oh, how about this one for the Asians? I'm only racist when I drive. See? You see that? You see how funny that is? That's how funny my black stuff is if you have black people. Just trust me. Because you get to watch Asian people laugh and you get relief that you're not a bad person, and then you realize it's funny and harmless. If there was black people here, you'd get the same relief, but there isn't. So you just have to trust Uncle Owen. Because this isn't my first rodeo.
And then I started just lecturing them about hypocrisy. And then I saw all the oil tankers.
The oil tanker part, that was hilarious. The part, and they were with that.
You're bitching about the tankers in the
street.
No,
it's like, oh yeah, your mayor can ride around on a bike, but I just saw 90 oil tankers right off your coast.
Yeah. Sitting but that in is the harbor outside
right
of my
there,
hotel.
It's called Black Gold.
But that is our
Texas tea.
Like most, like that is the political thing of the area, is like whether, so our provincial government is at odds with our municipal government of the use of those waters.
Yeah, you got Justin Trudeau as a fucking Banana Republic model. Hello. Dude's a fucking pussy. Trump had beat the fuck out of him. And Trump is in a walking orange. But Trudeau's a little pussy. Yeah, I hope I get sued. There's a law here where comedians can get sued. Bring it. I want the press in the Huff Post. I'm just kidding. I don't even know anything about Trudeau. Oh, he just sounds like a pussy. Jeez, don't attack our leader, because that's what comedy's supposed to do, so that no one goes insane. Oh wait, that reversed, and now the world's insane. Sure, let's talk about it. That's the beauty of bad crowds, is I feel no professional pressure. Because if you guys are just gonna stare at me, I'll tell you what I think about things. What's that? He's a buffoon? Yeah, I'm not a fan, but he's what happens in the world of the public shaming, the shameless become king. It's a math equation. So that's your fault. Every time someone called everyone racist and everyone sexist for everything in the world, that creates an environment where the only person that can possibly rise is the one who's a sociopath who doesn't give a fuck about anybody. So that's called a toxic environment that all you guys created by going, we ride a bike. Fucking liars. Oh shit. Oh snap. No. Well, at least Ross is laughing because he knows how bad you guys are. He's the only person in the room who's like, yeah, fuck them. Fuck those people. They wouldn't even give courtesy laughs at punchlines. I love Ross. All right, I'll close down shop. I won't talk politics because I don't even believe in politics. I believe in like I'll flip parties all the time because all I care about is public freedom of speech and protection of moms and shit like that. Other than that, it's all noise. I'm like, as long as everyone gets to say things, then we can always heal, you know? Marketplace of ideas. But people are like, no, don't say that. It's hate speech. Hate speech is whatever you think it is. That's called subjective. And a little FYI, Canada, you know, you just said that no one can criticize Islam legally. That's now passed in Ontario. That's bad. Because Islam's an idea. Muslims are people. You don't see the problem with that? No one ever reads history? Remember Mean Mr. Mustache? When you can't criticize an idea, you can only criticize human beings, and that's fucking dangerous. Oops. And I'm close with a lot of Muslims who are fucking terrified by this shit. You gotta be able to criticize Islam or else people just started criticizing the people. Uh-oh, Trudeau. But no, we're the bad guys. The Americans are the bad guys because we have Mean Mr. Trump, right? As you're fucking got oil tankers just all on the horizon out there. But you got your Save the Air bumper stickers and that's all that matters. You fucking liars. I don't give a fuck. I embrace this shit. A little bit of sand in the oyster makes the pearls. You know what I mean? Take the tension. That's how people come. Friction. You can't be good at sex unless you fucking you're okay with a little uncomfort every now and then. Or you're like, yeah, I'm okay with it. If you're constantly just trying to please everybody, no one's coming well. Oh, is that okay? Oof, no, fucking, it's okay. It's all okay.
So Gregor is like, we shouldn't have oil tankers in there. And our provincial government is like, oil for all.
Yeah, I have no problem with it. I just make fun of hypocrisy.
Well, no, totally. But so it's funny. So that thing is like the hot button political topic in BC.
You can't bitch about oil on your way to work in the SUV. Like, who the fuck are these people? Are like, oh, oil. How did you get here? How the fuck did you get here?
It's so funny. It's like, fuck. And it's always the people with the most blood on their hands. They're the most pretentious.
Of course.
Like the Hollywood elites are the ones that are the most like, Donald Trump is a monster. I'm like, the people saying that literally live in walled castles.
With security.
And everyone knows it. And that's the thing. Everybody knows it.
Yeah.
And so the more they say it, the more they get this like all these retweets and shit because they have a echo chamber. But the whole world just is laughing at these people.
Of course.
But they also get heard because, you know, the reason they have castles is because they have prominence in some way. So then they get heard. So the poor people who are tweeting and have 16 followers and no one. So there
That's
are
really
poor people
point.
Who also don't like Trump. It's just no one hears from them. So, like, I think the especially if it's a celebrity, they feel like, oh, I have a platform, so I should use it. But then you only hear celebrities and you're like, why are we only hearing from celebrities? Because they're like the most, you know, the most esteemed scientist, political or environmental, doesn't have a social media presence because they're doing good work. You know,
right?
Like,
but see, the thing underground in a lab.
But the thing about all these issues, though, is it's like they team up with their teams.
Yeah,
and that's what hypocrisy. Like, I mean, blood is on everyone's hands for everything.
Sure, yeah.
It's like you know, there's so many times like that Ben Carson thing was hysterical. Remember when he said that slaves were immigrants and everyone flipped out? And then they showed Obama said the same thing 11 times?
Yeah.
And then you never heard of it again. No one apologized.
No.
That's the thing. No one apologizes. And, like, that only reinforces Trump supporters.
Oh,
if they literally were just like, see, because I don't have a party. I'm a free speech zealot.
Yeah.
That's all I care about.
Right.
That's why, like, when that Tammy chick, the Republican hot chick, Facebook chick, when she was like, should Samantha Bee be fired for making fun of a cancer patient? I'm like, no. She apologized. She didn't know. I'm like, that's what makes the left annoying. So you can't do that, too. Like, the only saving grace of you guys is not outrage firing comedians.
Yeah.
I was like, so you don't do that either, you fucks.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I stand. I'm like, just whoever isn't limiting speech. That's why I was talking about the Muslim Islam shit.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be able to criticize Islam, or else people literally will start attacking Muslim people.
So I think what happened there, why they weren't with that as much, is I think people just haven't heard about that, because I haven't. I'm like, I did not
81 to 0, it passed. That's a really? Fear vote. Yeah.
No, Ontario.
Global
Ontario.
Politics in Vancouver is like oil and water. We don't fucking
it doesn't,
care.
Yeah, there's not a lot of
people
politics.
People are high on the seawall.
I like that. I would never bring up politics or inflict any of that divisive bullshit on anyone if they're like a fun party crowd.
Yeah.
Anytime I get that Catholic priest judgy fucking bullshit.
Yeah, sure.
Like, all right. Yeah.
That was what happened several times in the show by both of us. We're like, okay.
Because
he was a little weird.
Like, dude, that's what, I was like a far left liberal when it's like the church is more in control. And I'm like, how dare you guys tell people not to have free speech? And then now social justice warriors are literally doing the same thing. Where it's become a religion. Where it's like, only a woman can speak out on... Well, I'm like, oh, so but, only a neutron can speak on physics? Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Except for that, you don't know enough about it. You can't have an opinion.
But what I get worried about is, like, is that really those people, or are those bloggers and people who want, like, funnels to their websites by people. Like,
that's what I always thought.
I do sort of feel like that, and people are reading it, so it is like informing culture, you know, right, because it does happen. But I really think that most people still have common sense around what, like, free speech and about, like, offensive stuff is like. So sometimes comedians here will be like, oh, you know, it's so PC or something. I'm like, is it though? Like, we talk about whatever we want. There's, I've never seen consequences. Consequences are big celebrity.
You know what's happened with Jordan Peterson?
Who's that?
A professor in Toronto. He wouldn't use gender neutral pronouns.
Okay.
And that's punishable by like massive.
In Toronto?
Yeah. No, it's you gotta look this guy up, because he's like, he's so brilliant that like, it's the last guy you want to fuck with on this. Yeah. He's a clinical psychologist. Yeah. And like,
oh, so he's armed to the teeth. It's come with fact.
Yeah. And he, because his point is, you can say what I can't say. Like, you know, don't say, like, nigger, right? Yeah. Obviously.
Yeah.
But, like, you can't say what I have to say. Right. Because that's tyranny. Yeah. And that's now in Canadian law.
Oh, wow.
So this isn't bloggers anymore. It started as bloggers. Right. And now it's, because it has this, like, Ponzi scheme outrage effect where, like, unless it grows, it dies. So it's, like, now it literally is illegal to not use gender pronouns.
In Ontario? What? No.
In Canada?
You got to dive in. Rabbit
I will look
brother.
Into it, but that seems very unlikely.
There's this whole other section in the Charter called Section 1, which says that all rights and freedoms are subject to reasonable limits as are demonstrably justifiable in a free and democratic society. Why it all matters is because people matter. And I worry that we've moved into a place now, a kind of not only a post-truth politics, but a kind of post-empathy politics. How bloody hard is it to simply treat these people with respect and dignity? Because all this is about, all human rights are about, is respect and dignity. And if you could throw in a little kindness on the top, that would be even better.
So I'm going to read you something that a graduate student sent me from the University of Toronto the other day, and I can also tell you that I've received hundreds of letters like this. Today, I had a tutorial at the University of Toronto where I talked about Jordan Peterson and issues of personal identity, legally sanctioned identity categories, etc. I brought up a video of a tall white man in his 30s who asked students at a university how they'd react if he told them he identified as a woman, as black, as short, and as 5 years old. Spoiler alert. Students in the video resist some of the later categories a bit, but are mostly accepting. Still, students were not engaging in discussion. I asked them why. One said it was because she was worried to share her opinion for fear of being singled out or saying something offensive. I asked who else was not speaking for that reason. The whole class put their hands up. No participation. Why? They weren't uninterested. They were afraid to speak their minds. The PC police are in your heads. You just heard a lawyer's opinion. I have many lawyers' opinions, by the way. I'll start with Lawyer One, who was the counsel to several prime ministers. He talked to me about the Human Rights Tribunal because I went and saw him 2 weeks after this all started. Human Rights Tribunal is a kangaroo court, in my opinion, and it should be abolished as fast as possible. It's one of the many institutions in Canada that pose a threat to your freedom that is of almost unimaginable proportions. Here's what this top lawyer told me. If I'm taken in front of the Human Rights Tribunal, it will cost me $250,000. I will pay the legal costs for my opponents, and I will lose. He said, go back to your safe little life and shut your mouth. Second lawyer told me, my critique of the Ontario Human Rights Commission is spot on. And absent the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, which has these contradictions built into it that you just heard described, much of what I was saying was illegal and has been illegal since 2012. Lawyer three told me that if I breached a tribunal order, so imagine I was taken in front of the Human Rights Tribunal and I was fined and then I refused to pay the fine, which I've stated that I would do. That equals contempt of court, which inevitably means jail until the contempt is purged. The social justice tribunals and the SJWs, social justice warriors who staff them, have a rogue nature. They can search your house without a warrant. They can use secret hearings. There are no rules of evidence, and the judges are unaccountable. But those are legal opinions. Let's look at a real world case. Let's look at what happened when I made my videos. Let's look at how the university responded, because I can tell you, in the video I said, look, what I'm doing is probably illegal, and worse, my employer is legally responsible for it, because that's built into the codes as well. So by the way, if you're an employer, you're responsible for everything that your employees say, and everything that anybody interprets what they said as being, whether it's unintentional or intentional, whether or not a complaint has been made. So just think about that. Anyways, October 3rd, the university said, like all members of the university community, I have an obligation to comply with the law, including the provisions of the Ontario Human Rights Code, their policy with regards to workplace harassment, which the university implied that I was engaging in a course of vexatious comment or conduct where the course of comment or conduct is known or ought reasonably be known to be unwelcome. So what happened essentially was the university reviewed what I had done, and then they reviewed the policies as laid out on the Ontario Human Rights Commission website. The university reviewed my videos and they decided that what I said was true. They decided that the video I made was probably illegal and that they were responsible for it. And so in an attempt to distance themselves from me, under counsel from their legal people, and believe me, the university has good legal people, they sent me a warning. And this is what happens if you want to discipline a recalcitrant employee, essentially, so that you don't have to bear legal responsibility for their acts. And after the third warning, you can take further steps. Now, I pointed out to the university at one point when we were discussing how this forum was going to proceed that perhaps it would be in their best interests to not support the people who were trying to stop me from talking, but instead to support me legally and, if necessary, to take this all the way to the Supreme Court. And the university said categorically that they would not do that. So I would say, when it comes to the contradictory provisions that are in the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, and so we might say roughly equality versus freedom of speech, the university decided which side they're going to go down on. So on October 18th, the university mentioned to me in another warning letter that if personal pronouns are being used, the refusal to use the personal pronoun that is an expression of the person's gender identity can constitute discrimination. So now, you see, what's happened is that I haven't refused to use someone's gender-neutral pronouns. I said that I would refuse. So it's not even the refusal itself that's producing the letters. It's my declared intent to engage in the refusal. And as far as I was concerned, what I was essentially doing was criticizing a piece of legislation that had not yet been passed. But the university's legal department decided that all that was sufficient for them to distance themselves from me and to engage in disciplinary activity. So, and then with regards to these human rights tribunals where all of this stuff would be sorted out, it's like those places destroy your reputation and destroy you financially. And can they put you in jail? Well, it's a complicated argument in some sense, but I can tell you that if you refuse to pay the fines, that's the next step. The federal people have indicated that these policies will be interpreted in accordance with the Ontario Human Rights Commission's policies online. And so you guys should go read those, because those are not fun. And I would say that they pose an incredible threat to your liberty. And it's all done under the guise of compassion. People who keep pushing that on you are making a massive mistake. And they're infantilizing you. And they're terrifying people in the university community, as you can tell by the letter that I just read. And I've received dozens of letters like that. People are afraid to say anything because they're going to get targeted. And if you wonder or not if that's true, then just think about what happened to me. And ask yourself if it's true. Good enough.
Thank you.
It can't be illegal to what gender neutral pronouns such as
Z, like all the dude, it's illegal in New York City.
What?
Bro, I'm a zealot. That's what? The only thing I give a fuck about.
That's right. I don't know enough. I'm just surprising. Alright.
Because what that's how you break a horse.
Yeah.
It's the thing is, like, Trump will normalize social things that are insane. Mm-hmm. But like it's yin yang, man. It literally is doing this. It's sure. A seesaw. We're like sure. The left overstepped so far that, like, now the right, like, it's just a, there's no, everything's connected. There is no, like, good guy, evil guy. It's like, what is a reaction to a reaction?
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I was a World War II history major. Like, I'm obsessed with,
oh, see?
Yeah, my dad teaches rhetorical movements and shit, like, how things start from nothing and become insane.
Right, yeah.
And so when you see, like, Treaty of Versailles becoming World War II, becoming Hitler, like, that's why all this shit is so interesting, because the steps, and then see Stalin, like if you're talking Hall of Fame, it's like that Bill Burr joke.
Oh, that's
Hall of Fame genocide.
Yeah.
And do you understand why they don't bring up Stalin?
Yeah.
It's because he's left wing.
Yeah.
He killed 60 million.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It doesn't count for
farmers.
Shit. 60s are
farmers.
Big numbers.
Yeah. But, like, you always are going on Hitler because he's fascist.
I love that joke. It's so,
dude,
fucking,
Stalin,
so funny.
Dude, the dystopian fucking world of communism is mind blowing.
Yeah.
Because I like a quality of opportunity, but not a quality of outcome. That is impossible.
Yeah.
And if you inflict that on people, it will only build to war. Like, it's never not happened, ever.
Yeah, history will repeat itself. It always ends in
war. Yeah, it's like Eastern
war.
Europe is poorer than Western Europe because their fucking rivers go to the Arctic Ocean and the Caspian Sea.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, like, legislate over rivers.
And at the end of the day, I don't have ultimate control over what Dr. Peterson, what the language he chooses to use, or anybody else for that matters. That's up to them.
Okay, let me
and
find
the
out then.
Arises.
Let me find out. If she were a student of yours, what would you call her?
She.
You would. Okay.
Well, I don't understand what the claim that there's no such thing as biological sex means. And I certainly think it's, let's call it an error, to suggest that there's some sort of scientific consensus about that. I mean, there's biological differences between males and females in animals and human beings at every level of analysis from them.
Okay, I'm jumping in here, because what about the notion he put forward at the end there, that if you do not refer to people with the pronoun that they prefer to be referred to, that is a form, according to the Human Rights Commission, of discrimination.
It's not just a form of discrimination, it's a form of hate speech. That's why I made the video. I said that we were in danger of placing the refusal to use certain kinds of language into the same category as Holocaust denial, and suggested that maybe that wasn't such a good idea, especially since there's plenty of debate to be had about gender issues in our society, which I also think are also in danger of becoming illegal, and quite rapidly. So it isn't clear to me how long we'll be able to have the talk that we're having right now.
Because I don't agree with why Dr. Peterson has been asked to stop abusing students on campus.
To stop doing what?
Abusing students.
I see.
And other members of our learning community who do deserve respect and do deserve to be able to work and learn and contribute to society in a place where if they are physically assaulted, if they are...
The assault so far came from the social justice warriors who were at this free speech rally, and almost 2 million people have watched
those
so far.
This is not accurate.
Well, you can look at the videos yourself.
Because people have been making complaints about your behavior.
Yes, I understand that.
Yes.
Yep.
And so we're seeing a greater opportunity for social justice happening that many people won't understand.
Nick, can I be clear on something? You've accused him of abusing students by not using the pronouns they want to be addressed by.
That's how I see it, absolutely.
That is tantamount to abuse in your view.
Absolutely. Many, many global documents, many organizations.
How about violence? Is it tantamount to violence?
Yes,
how about hate speech? Is it tantamount to
hate
speech?
Yes, of course. It's hate speech to tell someone that you won't refer to them as in a way that they that recognizes their humanity and dignity.
Words are tools, and people are always looking for new tools to operate in the world. And if you invent a good tool, like a new word, then people will pick it up just as fast as they possibly can. You really see that in English. But the words that are being required now are not good tools, and that's why people aren't using them. And so instead what we have is the use of force, despite the fact that that's being denied, although we've already established that, at least in the opinion of one of the people on this panel, I'm already guilty of a hate crime, which is what I said I was guilty of when I made that video. Steve, the issue with the law is quite straightforward. The government is requiring us to use certain language. That's not the same as not using certain language. And it's a line, and this is the fundamental issue. This is maybe the fundamental issue. That's a line we should not cross. We should not allow the government to decide which words we're allowed to use. It's a mistake. And it's a mistake that strikes right at the heart of free speech. And the thing about free speech is that it's not the right to criticize your leaders, which is what people usually characterize it as. Is freedom of speech is freedom to engage in the processes that we use to formulate the problems in our society, to generate solutions to them and reach a consensus. It's actually a mechanism. It's not just another value. And you should put constraints on free speech with the most extreme caution, because you interfere with people's ability to think and communicate.
Let me get Theron to weigh in.
You know, and everyone thinks it's like racial. It's like Slavs are called Slavs because they were slaves. Slav means slave.
Yeah.
Like, you think this is new?
Yeah.
You don't think people are trying to get reparations from the fucking Habsburg 17th century empire? The Czechs? And then Mean Mr. Mustache had some fucking things to say about that? Like, none of this is new.
Mean Mr. Mustache.
Me and my brother used to do a fucking song that goes, Mean Mr. Mustache went up Mustache Hill. It was a child's, it was all children's songs about Hitler.
That was very funny when you said Mean Mr. Mustache on stage, because that was like through that thing, and then that got a nice laugh, which I was glad. I was like, because that was through the heat of that stuff. I was like, okay, this is still going to go good.
Do you ever get that feeling, though, that if you're into actual freedom, the left is taking a turn?
Well, see, I don't feel that way. See, and I'm very left-leaning.
Totally. But
here's my thing that I posit to you is, like, so let's say, with the control of speech and, like, a more respectful speech, like, so try not to exclude people with speech. Like, I don't want anything to be legislated, like, you can or cannot say this or that. I don't, like,
none
of that.
Same with abortion. That's why I'm pro-choice.
Yeah, like, yeah, I'm pro...
I'm so liberal that I think that this is anti-liberal. I'm like...
Yeah.
Like, I'm not liberal. I'm just 19... I'm 2004 liberal.
Sure,
does that make sense?
I see where you're going. But so how about this comedically or just in life? So let's say we all make an effort to be more respectful of how we speak. No laws, but just like, whatever. Is that also what that means? And I'm not set on this. I'm just thinking about it. Is that also, does that not mean jokes are funnier when you do that? Like, yeah, for comedians, like, the idea is, like, if people started being more respectful of speech, the people who are looser, less cautious will also have a weird superpower.
That's an interesting point. Like, I've never heard of that.
Because now everyone's cursing, for instance. So curse words are now on TV. When I was a kid, they weren't on until after 11.
Right.
The Sopranos came and changed everything. And now I used to never swear. And now I'll say fuck so casually. But there was like one time I had a girlfriend. Sure. And one time I had a girlfriend and I said fuck to her. And her like mind blew because I had a powerful word, you know?
Right.
And so I'm not...
I know what you're saying.
I'm not saying that's a very reason good point. To do it, but...
I know, that's actually a very valid point.
For comedians, I almost think
but that's there was a comedian sued in Canada, though, right?
True, and that part is bizarre. So what it was is that's a human rights tribunal, and it was... that's interesting.
For making fun of this kid who said...
There's been two of them.
What's that?
There's sort of been two of them. Yeah.
See, that's alarming.
Yeah, it is alarming. What happened there was alarming, yeah. It
wasn't the greatest joke, but no. I mean, it's like he wasn't bashing the kid. He was just making fun of the fact that he said he was dying... And 5 years later, suddenly he seems stronger now.
Like, yeah. I don't know.
He had his last wish, right? They granted this kid.
It shouldn't even be a debate. Comedians can literally say, like, nigger, nigger, nigger.
Yeah.
Totally.
Or and then, like, Hitler, Hitler, Hitler.
Yeah, they cannot get booked. But you can't legislate it. You know what I'm saying? Like, let society dictate what that
free
is.
Free market. Free market.
Because my thing about all this is it only builds the right. Like, it only makes reaction.
Yeah.
That's why it's not a right-left situation. It's like a...
Well, yeah, I've never thought of free speech stuff as right or left, personally.
I used to think it was left, and now I think it's not. Like, that's the scary part, because the church used to be so stranglehold over the right.
And,
that I felt that was socially oppressive, and that was...
Yeah.
And now I'm starting to think that these marches and shit are like...
Right.
And I'm... For the ability of marching, but just like it's the boy who cried wolf shit. It's like if you march every day, if Roe v. Wade or one of these things is overturned, now your marching doesn't matter. Like you flooded the market with marching. It's like a devalued currency.
But then at that
point,
what happens though is that violence will start to happen. Like so, if something does, if a group of people who are like actively mobile instead of peaceful march, like at some point, that's when populations will. So a population does need to like. I don't want violence. In a march ever, but like marches peacefully, like it. Sorry,
I see what you're saying. You're almost showing off your troops.
Yeah, it's like and you're learning how to mobilize and do this thing. So there's I can't remember if it was in South Korea or something. There was like a completely peaceful, where something like 6 million, humongous marches where they went, and then things just have to be changed as their citizens. But what's happening in the United States, seemingly, was all this stuff is like people can see how it affects things. Because it did change things, and it is applying pressure here and there. And so, citizens do need... Because that's the other way that you get, outlandish behaviors when a citizen doesn't feel like they're heard. So I think marches are a great way to be heard.
Do you think people are overheard?
No. On social media and stuff, yes. But not as a population. Because it's like, sure, individuals who go like, I will write this, yes, maybe.
You were asked,
but not groups, I don't
think.
Would
you refer to me using they-them pronouns? You said, no, I wouldn't. When asked why, you said, because I don't think it's a solution. When I brought up then it was basic respect and so on, what you said was, oh, I wouldn't do it if I was like coerced or whatever you said. Somebody literally just asked, would you do this for me? And you said, no, I would not show you that respect. I would not extend that amount of dignity to you.
That's not what I said.
Yes, you said
that you would not say that pronouns for a person.
Nobody asked anything about if I came like with a club and asked you to like use certain pronouns to refer to me.
What makes you think?
I just asked, would you refer to me if it wasn't for this law and I asked you to refer to me with they, them pronouns, would you? And your answer was no.
Not if I was compelled to.
But we're saying if you weren't.
You said no, and then when I started asking you about, you said it wasn't a solution. When you were asked, what is it not a solution to? You said something vague. We said it's about basic respect. And then you said not if I was compelled to. So no, when you were just asked, as a matter of respect, in fact, would you refer to a trans person who asked you to use they, them pronouns, a pronoun which has a several hundred-year historical...
But we're, that's not what we're talking about.
Yes, it is, because it's legislation.
We're saying if it wasn't legislation.
It's not legislation. I've got to stop, guys. Look, there's too many of you.
Okay, one simple question.
I've had enough. Sorry, I can't do this.
One simple question.
I thought we were statistically irrelevant.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, I don't exist.
And a trans person asked you, would you please refer to me by they and them pronouns, would you refer to them by those pronouns?
Might depend on how they asked.
So, no.
Why do you have the authority to determine whether or not...
Please refer to me.
Why do I have the authority to determine what I say? What kind of question is that?
Why do you have the authority... Let me finish. Why do you have the authority to determine whether or not an individual is worthy of you using their pronouns? Like, if I asked you, would you please use they, them pronouns for me?
It would depend on what I
what
thought of your motivation.
What hoops do you want us to jump for?
Those
what
are my pronouns. Those are my
There's
pronouns.
No motivation.
No, I know. No one ever has any motivation.
We're those trying to survive. Politics are a product of our lives and us trying to live in this world. We're not trying to live in this world as a product of our politics.
Do you want me to send you
I was apolitical before I came out as trans. I got into politics because I needed to survive, to advocate against people like you, no offense. I have one quick question. Okay, so they, them pronouns are written into the Oxford English Dictionary, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. It's actually the word of the year this year. And it does have historical continuity all the way back to Shakespeare. It is objectively an English word, singular they pronouns, grammatically correct. Do you think that you can choose to not respect something that is in the English language as a professor, as an academic, you're ignoring rules of the English language to go out of your way to disrespect students?
That's your opinion, and I'm not going
it
to
is my opinion.
Disrespect students.
We're saying it's disrespectful to us.
You don't get to decide what's disrespectful to us.
Give me an example.
Okay, sure. Sure.
So you're getting really good points.
Yeah. Well,
I'm doing a show with True TV. It's all about. It's called Both Ways.
Yeah.
Where it's like, and the tagline is, "I'm a sucker for a good argument."
Yeah. Well, me too. I like love it. The things I'm gonna say.
Yeah. See, mine will change.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not one of those people that has a team.
Right.
So, all right. What group don't you think is being hurt?
Well, okay. All right. Here. How about this? I'll give myself a challenging one.
Okay.
Is that around comedy?
Oh, sure. This one?
Water bottle. Oh, thank
cool.
you.
Thank
you.
So around comedy, there's sort of this air that that joking about sexual assault and rape is as almost off the table as you can get, at least in Vancouver. That's like so there's like some shows that...
Unless I'm getting raped by a duck.
Well, I know. And the joke's very funny. And it is. It's very funny. So it's a thing where I don't think that should be off. The jokes will be good and they'll sink. Like, if you don't have a good joke, you'll eat it. And you'll eat it socially and you won't get booked.
Decide.
Yeah, exactly. All this stuff. Yes, 100%.
If you can break them like a
throw
horse,
it
you
out
do
there.
It.
Right. So sometimes I'll have this argument with people where they're like, well, they'll explain why you shouldn't make that joke, and like, you know, you don't know who's a victim of this or that. But one thing everyone can talk about all the time is murder. So we can say we killed. We can do whatever.
Right,
and
right.
At the end of any of my jokes, like to all sorts of people, like, and then I killed that guy, and no one cares. And recently, I knew someone who their friend got murdered and like in their arms, and right now there's a drug crisis in town, and a friend of mine died of fentanyl overdoses, and comedians in town right now are going like, fentanyl is this, like, they're not even doing it as jokes, they're doing it as like segues into their drug material. And the thing is that I think all aspects should be joked about if they want, but the thing with the sexual assault one is that you don't know what's gonna happen. Someone gets sexual assaulted, some people, their lives are broken in half, and other people shoot, that was too bad. I hated that that happened. And they move on. But 100% of murders, someone dies. You know, like, we know what happens with a murder. That person is dead.
Yeah.
And so it's bizarre to me that this cannot be talked about.
You're making some really interesting points.
People but usually survive.
Because you're not doing
rape.
The buzz points. Yeah. What's that?
People usually survive the rape, but they don't survive the fucking murder.
Because I'm a great comedian, you're a great audience. But there was a miscommunication when someone gave me the finger and told me to go fuck myself. I mean, I don't know what to do at that point besides stab. And then he just bleeds out. He's like, why did you stab me? I'm like, I don't even know. I don't know why I did. I don't know why I did either. I really regret it. He's like, but I'm going to die. He's slowly dying. And I'm like, I didn't want to be a murderer. But, and then I'm just like right after he dies, I'm like, yes. And then I high five everyone. It's like making your way in the world. And I'm happy that he's dead. But the whole me crying was, I wasn't real. I'm like, I regret it. No, I don't. Fucking 7 billion of us. Let's fucking get out the eraser.
But so openly, so it's like, and agreed that if you had someone die, it could hurt your feelings. But no one cares about these. Well, of course, that's not a group that's underheard as victims of murderers' families. But I'm just saying, I think everything should be
a pretty good platform.
Sure, it's just a very small group.
That's my point. That once you start going on that road, it's almost like after the Protestant Reformation, how there's like unlimited churches that everyone lost their minds.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, now there's 91 genders.
Yeah,
you know, that was like that, where it's like, once you start thinking, it's like the South Park shit. Like, once you can't draw Muhammad, next up's Catholics, next up, and then you're done. So it's it's either everyone or nobody.
Well, I'm 100% on the side of nobody. But the thing is, so for me, and I think you have some of the funniest gender stuff I've seen. I love it. But I think the more interesting thing in the wide world, not necessarily comedically, is that we're all individuals. It's like, I am more like a female who is extroverted and interested in comedy than I am with an introverted male who likes money. Like, so for me, it's less about gender. It's more, so all these individual genders and stuff, I don't give a fuck. I just care about, like, you know, what these people are like. And then, though, is that there's just some groups who get, so something in comedy that's happening around is people are saying, like, why can't we make fun of midgets? I'm like, well, for one thing, is because they've had hard lives. Some of them got bullied their whole lives. So we had a friend who passed away, or I don't know if you knew the Toronto dude, who was a little guy, and he faced, like, horrible...
I met him before. I'm
and so he died, and the thing was that some people who know him do these jokes, like, why can't I say this? Like, well, you can say it. There's just social consequences that man who had a very hard life...
Right, I agree with you.
Yeah, so it's like...
I'm not against social consequences.
Yeah, that's the thing. So
I'm against legislation.
Me too, and I am also against it. So it's like, the thing is, like, people when they say, you can't say this, I'm like, say it, then deal with the consequences.
Yeah, it's like Bill Burr made domestic violence funny.
Yes,
he's that good.
That's very funny. Yeah, man. Yeah, and
be like, look at his mother joke. How he makes women in the crowd laugh at like pretending that.
And a lot of
the
things you make fun of, you've experienced. That's
yes.
the thing.
Yes.
Unless you're a dick. That's why it's like everyone can sense. Like it's like my Beethoven deaf joke. Like I'm clearly not making fun of deaf people.
Yes.
You can bring up topics. See, for me, I'm not a fan of like people that are overtly cruel in their humor.
Of course not. Yeah.
But it's like I don't want to not be able to bring up a topic. Like if I say the word black, everyone's assholes fucking freak out.
Oh yeah.
That to me is mind blowing, and it's so condescending because it's actually the opposite. Mm-hmm. It's people are so privileged that they're like, don't speak about them. It's like them. They're just like you. You fucking losers.
Yeah. But also part of it's because they're dumb. So not dumb.
That's a good point.
But they're dumb. But maybe dumb, but more like following social norms. So like we're talking about stuff that goes over lines where we're like, hey, it's this or that. We're even like interpersonally, we don't know each other that well, and we're like pushing and pulling. Some people just want to fall in line where there's the least friction possible. And so you saying something that wrinkles them, they suddenly like, uh-oh.
See, but I always like being a comedian because it's almost like we get the people that want to be in friction.
Hopefully. Oh, I love that joke, by the way, that you hadn't said before the weekend of
which one?
You need friction for sex. Otherwise.
I've never said that before.
Oh,
yeah.
Write it down.
You need friction to come.
It's like,
it doesn't work if there's no resistance.
If you just put your mouth on a dick and you don't move your mouth, no one's coming.
No, it doesn't happen.
Well, I've got a great imagination. I might be able to. But
that's true. There's one guy in prison that could do that.
Telekinetically.
Sure. I don't want to be... See, I don't also want to have to take the side where it seems like I want anyone to be policed language-wise or anything. Like, I don't want that, socially or otherwise. But I also don't want to go on the other side where groups, like, shouldn't be safe, I suppose.
Give me an example.
Well, there's a lot of violence against transgender people, and there's a lot of...
Who's doing this violence?
I don't know. So it's like a thing where I just have heard the things that there's like a lot of violence towards them. Like they have higher rates. And also, so there's a lot of groups that have higher rates of suicide.
Yeah, but see, that's... Men are four times more likely than women to shoot themselves. So it's like, does that mean men need protection? Like,
yes,
this is all anecdotal.
No, but of course they do. Because the thing is the reasons why the men are committing suicides, these are the people who are left behind. This is an underheard group as well. It's like, I read a post on Reddit once of a guy...
Left behind by who, though? Isn't it the patriarchy?
It is the patriarchy.
So but, leaving men behind?
Yes, both, though, because... So this post on Reddit sort of blew my mind. It was by a guy who was in his 40s, and he was in the United States, and he was pretty dumb, and he didn't have career outlooks. He didn't graduate from high school. He went into the army, and he wasn't good at that, and he went to war, and he knew his only role was to sort of die. Like, the thing was, he got sent to this thing, and his meat husk was there to do this job, whereas if he was a woman, he still could have, like, made a baby that was a better baby. Like, women, he hadn't had sex with anyone in his life and stuff. Like, no one would... he knew his role in the world was almost zero. And that is a group that, why wouldn't you kill yourself? Of course. Whereas with a woman, the gender thing is you could give life to something beautiful that is not yourself. And, you know, there's a role for you there. So there, and I don't, like, do I think those men should be protected? No, but they should be heard. And
I'm going to get, like, 80% of our relatives, like, going down the tree are women. Sure. Because most men couldn't even procreate.
True. Yes.
So it's like, in most of human history, like, only the elite men even got families because they just were trying anything to get pussy.
I agree.
So it's like, there is a lot of men that don't really have a function, really.
No, I know. And that's, and so evolutionarily, that's very hard to, like, on those people because they just die. And sure, it's just if we decide to have compassion, like, for all people. And if you don't want to, if you just want to look at it as evolution, like, sure.
No, you can have compassion, but, like, how do you legislate that?
You don't legislate it. So you,
sounding pretty right wing, my friend.
So you don't legislate it. No, so it's not about legislation. So what it is about community and stuff. So Vancouver,
right wing.
No.
I swear on my life, that's a right wing thing.
No. How about this? So
community based, like, individual freedoms.
No, it's not about individual freedoms. So it's like
take care of your own type shit.
Community based.
Yeah. So it's like so. Why don't you guys let
the
me explain?
The only difference between right and oh yeah, of course.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that let's say you live in Vancouver,
right?
And you're a transgender person, and there is no recognition of that. There's no spaces that people even know the term. So then you are this thing. You're like this person, and you say to someone, they just don't know what it is. Then you go to a job, and they say, well, you have to check the gender thing, and you're like, okay, so you check both, and then you can't get a job. Let's say, like, you know, like,
right,
so,
right.
But so it goes up this thing. Then you just meet other people, and then they have a building, and then now they're not alone. It's easier, boom, just like that. And there's no legislation. You don't have to, you know anything. But just as it goes, then it won't be so surprising.
My piano teacher, my whole childhood was transgendered. Mm-hmm. Like, she became a man.
Yeah.
Oh, no way. You had that, like,
Yeah, my closest person in my life.
Oh
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, my parents are both college professors.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
So it's like, I got to see that so early and see the purity of most of them just want to be the other gender.
Yeah.
Like, it's like woman trapped in man's body, man trapped in woman.
Yeah.
Very, very, like, okay, there's maybe 0.3% are even transgendered. And of that, how many want to be one of these 91 genders? It's a fraction so small that the fact that this is commanding news when we have private prisons and corn syrup, it's a fucking joke.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to play the joke game because, no, compassion comes from not forcing people to do shit.
And your answer was no.
Not if I was compelled to.
So just an example of how things have become heated at the University of Toronto. That scene showing different groups of students, some confronting the professor about his position, others supporting him. Now, Peterson says this is about free speech, but A.W. Pete is also a professor at the University of Toronto who says that Peterson's language is abusive. Joining us right now is Professor Jordan Peterson, as well as Professor A.W. Pete. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks.
Professor Peterson, let's begin with you. Why are you against the use of alternate pronouns?
I'm against the use of legislation to determine what words that myself and other people are required to utter.
But would you use alternate pronouns if a student asked you to?
I think I've made my position on that clear already.
Well, perhaps not to our audience at home who are just being introduced to this. Would you use alternate pronouns? And why not?
Because I don't believe that other people have the right to determine what language I use, especially when it's backed by punitive legislation. And when the words that are being required are the constructions, they're artificial constructions of people I regard as radical ideologues whose viewpoint I do not share.
Well, we have a graphic to show our audience at home. Just some of the pronouns being used or asked to be used as alternates. Among them you see here, Z or Zim, Z or Here, Z or Zir, also Hey, or A rather, and Per. So just some of the alternate pronouns there. Professor Pete, when you hear Professor Peterson saying that this is oppressive, how do you respond to that?
The Peterson drama has done real harm to real people on campus. He's made it harder to be transgender or non-binary. I know this from personal experience. I'm non-binary and transgender, and I know how it's felt to be on the U of T campus for the last month. And I also know from private communications with other affected people. In New Zealand, where I grew up, academics have a statutory role enshrined in the Education Act to be a critic and conscience of society. So I think that's an idea worth exporting to Canada. So I'd like to give Peterson about a B+ for his critic role recently and an F for the conscience part. A student once said to me when I finally obtained tenure, "Now, Professor, now that you have obtained superpowers, you must agree to use them for good, for peace and justice." So I invite Peterson to start doing more of that.
Well, Professor Peterson, those who are asking for this alternate use of alternate pronouns, they are saying it boils down to respecting their human rights. How do you respond to that?
I don't think it boils down to respecting their human rights. I think that it's an imposition on freedom of speech that's being implemented at a legislative level. I also think that if there was a naturally evolving solution to the linguistic problem that's being posed by a small fraction of the transgender community, that people would have already adopted it. We've never had a situation in the usage of English before that required legislation to produce a transformation in the manner in which people spoke. It's a very dangerous precedent. So it's one thing to tell people what they can't say. So, for example, we have legislation making it illegal to do such things as deny the Holocaust. It's a completely different thing to demand that people use certain words when they're formulating their own ideas. And it's also absurd. I mean, here's one thing that's happened that I don't believe the formulators of this legislation ever foresaw. So in New York City, for example, there are now 31 protected gender identities. And I see no reason whatsoever why each of those gender identities can't demand the use of their own pronoun. And that absurd things like that have been happening on the University of Michigan campus, for example, where students have been given permission to tell faculty members and others what pronouns they're to be addressed by, and they're multiplying rapidly out of control. So the law is bad from an ethical perspective, it's sloppily written, and besides that, the solution that it imposes is practically untenable.
Excuse me for jumping in, but I want to bring in Professor Pete here, because we did show those words to our audience at home, and perhaps the control room can show it to our audience once again. When you look at those alternate pronouns, I think it's fair to say that some people will see that at home and see that as very unwieldy, if you will. What do you say to those types of criticisms, including the one you just heard from Professor Peterson?
I'd like to encourage people struggling with this to be kind as their first impulse. You know, we call somebody what they want to be called in our society. For instance, I don't call somebody Julie if they prefer to be called Jordan. That's just basic human courtesy. Here's a great little tip for people who are despairing at the possibility of remembering all those pronouns. What I do is just program in the pronoun next to the person's name in my smartphone. So whenever I'm out and about and I've forgotten whether one of my trans friends uses Z or Zer or they or them or something else, I just look it up and it's really super easy. One thing I'd like you to really look at in regard to this controversy is to watch out for who's getting centered in a discussion. Political correctness is code that powerful people use when they're annoyed that they're actually not the center of attention in any given discussion. And Bill C-16 is actually not about cisgender people. It's about protections for transgender people. And that's not, you know, it's not about Jordan Peterson. So, we should have people learning to listen more. We have two ears and one mouth for a very good reason. When things get political, I like to ask, who benefits? And who gets to decide the rules of the game? So, you know, mostly with this Peterson controversy, which is really just a small drama, a tempest in a teapot, you know, he could just get over learning to program a few pronouns into his phone. By the way, I only have half a dozen or so that I actually use on an everyday basis, so it's not all that difficult.
Professor Peterson, I'm going to jump in because I think Professor Peterson wants to get in on that.
Yeah, well, kindness is the excuse that social justice warriors use when they want to exercise control over what other people think and say. So, you know, if we're bandying back and forth our differences in values, you know, I would say that the highest possible value is truth, and that one of the concomitants is that we need stringent protection for freedom of speech so that we can utter the truths that we see fit. And I think that that's a value that's much higher than kindness, for example. I mean, there's lots of situations in life where kindness in the immediate present is not the appropriate way to react at all. But so, for example, when you discipline children, you often hurt their feelings in the short term so that they can learn to behave properly in the medium to long term so that their lives go well. And so this automatic assumption that the people on the social justice warrior side of the equation are motivated only by kindness when they're also clearly motivated by power is something I find completely untenable. And I don't think that Pete's solution to program my cell phone so that I can remember what names people need to be called is a reasonable solution at all. We're actually supposed to now use electronic devices to bolster our ability to speak freely
in
case
we
offend someone.
Is it so difficult to remember a pronoun? You remember somebody's first name. You remember their telephone number. I mean, I think that it's
I don't
very,
remember
very
people's first names very easily, and I don't remember their telephone numbers very easily. And when I see a stranger, I call them by the pronoun that seems to be in accordance with their presented appearance.
Well, that's you
they
being
appear
lazy,
that way.
Jordan. That's you being lazy. I think there's a very high value that we should also be aiming for in addition to truth. By the way, throughout this whole controversy, I have told the truth at every turn. So, you know, trying to imply that that's not what's happening on people on the social justice... Am I a social justice warrior? I don't know. But I think that we should be aiming for pluralism. This means recognizing more than one set of fundamental principles, fostering independent cultural traditions of minorities, and being willing to share power with people who are different than you. I think if you just stop centering this whole controversy on yourself and how hard it is for you to accommodate genderqueer people, well, have a little bit of sympathy. I mean, those of us who are trans encounter much more greater indignities every day and every week of the month. For example, have you recently had a bank employee accuse you of trying to masquerade as yourself at a bank and then locking down your ATM card and credit card so that you can't use any money? Those are the sorts of problems that trans people face every day, being out of housing, being considered, you know, considering suicide. These are really big problems.
My refusal to use pronouns because left-wing activists want me to use them has nothing to do with whether or not trans people are having difficulties in society. And I'd also like to point out that I've had many letters
of
support.
That's the problem, isn't it?
I've had many letters of support from trans people. And they tell me that the trans activists don't support them, and most trans people
Jordan,
actually wanted to be referred to as he or she.
Doesn't mean
they
that
weren't
you
my friends.
Are untransphobic.
They
just
weren't
because
my
you
friends.
Know a few people, just because you've talked
I
to a few trans
them.
People, you don't know the trans community like the trans community does. You've got no idea
no,
what
Professor,
it's like
trans,
to be trans.
Professor Pete,
Professor Pete,
I'm sorry to interrupt. Let Professor Peterson finish his thought, please.
All right, so the trans activists aren't proper representatives of the trans community because they haven't been elected by the trans community.
Nobody elected
you
either, Jordan.
I'm not speaking for anyone except myself and on behalf of other people perhaps who want to maintain the right to free speech. I'm not claiming that I'm a representative of white people or white men or any other group. I'm speaking on behalf of myself. And so I'm not taking...
But
I'm
Professor... Professor Peterson, let me jump in there, though, because we have seen an evolution of language. There are words that we don't use
not
anymore.
Not by legislation.
Well, legislation or not, there are words that have evolved. We don't use, for example, I'm Asian. I would bristle if someone called me Oriental. That is an evolution of how we use words. How is this different, whether legislated or not?
I just said how it was different.
I understand legislatively, but if at the heart of it is to allow a student to study free of what they feel is discrimination, why not help that along?
I already made my case for why not help that along. I believe that this legislation is extraordinarily dangerous, and there's other elements of it too that we haven't even got to in our society yet, like the protection for gender expression. And I've looked at gender expression in the Ontario Human Rights Code, and as far as I can tell, gender expression is best summarized in a single word, fashion. because it's the way that you present yourself in public with your clothing and your manner of dress. And so I also think that the legislation that we are bringing forth with Bill C-16, and that's already in place in places like Ontario, also makes the fashion criticism something akin to a hate crime. And because there's been so much noise about the identity component of this, we haven't even talked about gender expression. This is appalling legislation. And the idea that referring to someone by the pronoun of their choice is going to radically improve their status in society or their mental health is a completely unproven assumption. I think it'll have exactly the opposite effect.
Professor Pete, I want to ask you, because it's been brought up a couple of times, to Professor Peterson's point, if this was so popular, if this was so needed, there would be a natural evolution. There wouldn't be need for legislation. Why the need for legislating this as opposed to allowing it to evolve naturally?
Well, Bill 16, C-16 and the Ontario Human Rights Code do not actually legislate pronoun usage. They don't specify 31 genders or anything of the kind.
But let me jump in, though. The university is essentially telling, at this point, its human resources people to use alternate pronouns, in a way legislating their staff to do this.
The legislation also requires that the university made clear their concordance with that that assumption on my part by mentioning in the letter that asked me to silence myself that I'm required to act in accordance with the provisions of the Ontario Human Rights Act. And so the university knows full well that the legislation does precisely what I suggest it does. It's not written precisely in Bill C-16. It's written in the Ontario Human Rights Code. And if you read the Ontario Human Rights Commission policies on such things, you'll see very rapidly that utilization of preferred pronouns is part of the legislative package.
If you read the legislation, Jordan, you will find out that they're actually called correct pronouns. There's no preference about this.
There is on the Ontario Human Rights Commission website where the policy is laid out. And if people don't believe that, they can just go look themselves.
Professor Pete, when you hear that this is a free speech issue, that you hear Professor Peterson in this case essentially saying that he doesn't want to be legislated to adopt new language, what's your response to that?
Well, I share a number of Jordan's concerns about freedom of speech and academic freedom on campus. These are both very, very important principles, and they should apply regardless of what kind of politics you like. For example, if you're a left-winger or a right-winger or an up-winger or a down-winger or whatever it is. But, you know, the reason why we have laws that protect academic freedom and freedom of speech is primarily to prevent government interference in individuals' lives, in their business. It's there really mostly to protect against a form of structural violence. And these free speech laws were actually never intended to be used as all-purpose accountability shields, you know, so that you don't have to be held accountable for your actions.
I'm perfectly willing to be held accountable for my actions, and the university has already indicated the seriousness with which they view my actions. And I also do not believe that free speech laws were there to protect to regulate violence. Free speech laws are there because we use free speech to identify problems in our society, generate solutions to the problems, and then reach a consensus. So freedom of speech is actually is protection for the mechanism by which our individuals and society properly orient themselves across time. It's not even a principle. It's the fundamental method by which our societies manage to maintain the stability that they do maintain.
And so, it's one of the ways we do that, yes.
Well, I would say that it's the fundamental way. So, and I mean, I think we could have a reasonable discussion about that. But because freedom of speech is so tightly tangled up with the means by which we solve problems, I mean, I think, you know, and then I talk, but I get corrected when I speak publicly. And the fact that I'm being corrected constantly by the people that I'm speaking with helps orient my speech properly and helps orient public discussion properly. And I can tell you, too, that if there wasn't something absolutely vital at stake here that had a lot more to do than with just simple kindness, there wouldn't have been millions of people watching, for example, the assault that took place during the free speech rally that was held a few days after I released the video, which I see that CBC conveniently omitted to include in their video clips at the beginning of this interview.
Well, Professor Peterson, we do want to thank you. We're sorry we're out of time here, but I want to thank both of you for joining us today. That is the University of Toronto professors Jordan Peterson and A.W. Pete talking about what has become a very big controversy at the University of Toronto.
Like, when she became a man, I'm from a redneck fucking town. As long as he liked the Bills, the Buffalo Bills, it was all good.
Culture is
good if you let people be good. Now, if there's, you know, if there's discrimination, like they don't hire, that's, I'm fine with legislating that. Like, I'm equality and opportunity, like across the board.
Yeah.
Like, you can't say, like, if someone's transgendered, they're not going to be hired for a job because that pigeonholes them.
Yeah.
And then they're fucking.
Yeah, done for.
Right.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
My thing is, like, making this the narrative all the time seems to me like a shell game.
It's Professor Peterson, sorry, as a clinical psychologist, refusing to acknowledge how damaging it could potentially be to an individual to disregard their identity.
It's a very difficult question to even engage with because I don't understand it's, I don't understand it. It makes things so simple that you can't discuss them properly. All I do in my clinical practice, and I have about 20,000 hours of experience with clinical in my clinical practice, and I've dealt with all sorts of people, far more variation in people than the typical person ever encounters, and I think I've done it at least reasonably competently. All my discussions with people in my clinical practice are about their identity, given the definition of identity that I brought forth, how they feel about themselves, how they conceptualize themselves, because those are two different things, how that plays out in their interactions with other people, and what the functional significance of that is. And I'm going to say forthrightly, well, two things. One is that I don't believe that any of my clients have had cause to worry about my interpretation of their identity because what I do in my practice is help them discover what that is. I'm seriously not interested in imposing any ideas of identity onto someone because I can't do that. I don't know what the right vehicle is for you to travel through life. What I can help you do is articulate your concerns. I can ask you questions where I see contradictions in your self-articulation. I can help you make plans for the future. And I've helped thousands and thousands and thousands of people, by the way, make plans for the future with the stuff that I do online. And so I'm helping people build a genuine identity. Well, and that's what I do. So that's the answer to that question, and I think I do it well. I mean, in stuff we've done from a research perspective with the Future Authoring Program, which I offered to people free a week and a half ago to help them catalyze their identities, we've helped 5,000 university students increase their grade point average 20% and decrease their dropout by the same. And the biggest effect has been with men and non-Western ethnic minority students who've accelerated their performance up beyond the range of the normal for the dominant culture. A pure psychological intervention, I might say, and not a sociological intervention. So I'm perfectly willing to stack my record on identity formulation up against anyone's. And I should also point out that I think where I'm most vulnerable in this entire debate, and I expect this will happen, I know there's already been noise about it on the Ontario Psychological Association website, I think they'll probably come after my clinical license. So that'd be my guess. So
I think we might be straying a little away from the question now. So thank you.
No, we're not, because that question involved my clinical practice. I'm not straying a bit. That involved my clinical practice, and there was a reason that the question was posed. So I'm not straying.
Thank you. Why do you feel that someone's personal gender identity and pronouns infringes your free speech? Can one not also argue, based on your interpretation, that professors can use racial slurs in their classroom and that the inability to do so would violate their freedom of speech?
Well, that's pretty much the same question, I think. I think that we're crossing a dangerous line, and the line is the requirement that's being put upon people by government agencies with the full force of the law behind them to decide what language categories you're going to use. When I opened this debate, this forum, I tried to explain what this is about, and I couldn't explain everything that it's about because it's about too many things. But one of the things it's about is ideology and the distinction between the left and the right. And let's say, now, I truly believe that these made-up pronouns, of which there are many, dozens, in fact, and there's no consensus on them.
I was just going to ask if you could go back to the point about the analogy between the racial slur and the
pronouns. I don't think there's any analogy at all.
But that's,
I think,
what
the difference
people
between,
want to hear you
I'm
on.
Talking about compelled speech. There's a difference between saying that there's something you can't say and saying that there are things that you have to say. And I regard these made-up pronouns, all of them, as the neologisms of radical PC authoritarians. Do you understand that? And I don't, I'm not a fan of that sort of person. And the reason I'm not a fan of that sort of person is because I've done my homework. I've read everything I can get my hands on in the development of authoritarian political systems, and I know the literature inside out and backwards. And I am not going to be a mouthpiece for language that I detest. And that's that.
But from your perspective as someone who's also had a senior leadership role, as well as being an expert in the area, do you have any thoughts or guidance about what universities can do to ensure that we're moving things forward in a helpful, inclusive way?
Let's talk about apologies. So this week, we heard from Justin Trudeau's government about the apology that would be made to LGBTQ Canadians concerning...
I agree 100%, because the main issue, in my opinion, is like corporate takeover and wealth inequality, and that's fucking the whole thing up, personally. So it's like all this stuff is, yeah, so that people can squabble and not see what's happening with wealth distribution, personally. And that's been why, like, historically, that's been a lot of stuff.
I think people vote with their dollars. I think this corporate shit is, it's all about not buying their shit. Like, the government has so much less power than people even imagine.
Yeah, it's corporate.
Well, in America, I can't speak for Canada, but like, okay, the government can't redistribute money effectively at all. So yeah. They usually just embezzle 99% of it.
Yeah.
So it's like, the way to do it is don't, like, you vote every dollar.
Yeah,
like,
don't
that's
buy
how you
their
vote.
Shit.
Yeah,
don't just, go to
dude, I have my own chickens. I grow shit.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the way to fucking fight that is don't participate in it.
Yeah, right. The more self-sufficient you can be, the better, and then you don't have to rely on
yeah.
the fucking
Once again,
world.
Though, to be a devil's advocate here, that is like riding your bike when there's oil tankers in the water. Because the thing is that, sure, I can individually choose to buy here or there, but if the banks aren't regulated...
No, you're right.
Yeah, so it's
no,
like,
but like,
but
I,
both.
But my vote yeah. doesn't affect that. They're both, it's a rigged game. Yeah. So, like, yeah. the in my opinion, the last real president was Teddy Roosevelt because people forgot the president could die.
No, that's interesting.
Because you banks own both of them, always. In America, I can't speak yeah. on Canada, but like...
Yeah, since the like, dawn
You
of
can't
Canada.
Vote against banks. You can't vote against corporations. Hillary or in fucking yeah. Trump, there is no non-bank
well, except
vote.
For yeah. Bernie was brought up this idea that at least is now in the consciousness of people. That like, because before that, it wasn't even spoken of. So Barack Obama tried to run as a socialist. Then the numbers came back, and they're like, you can't say socialism. People hate socialism in the United States. And he never said it again. So that was in his first term. He said, like, oh, I'm going to be a social... And then,
there's so much yeah, baggage to it. I
think
you just
But then Bernie
shit.
Sanders got to say that, and it's moved this forward with the idea is like, oh, this should be... A discussion like the idea that most governments in the Western world are have some are increasing parts of socialism over the United States.
I'm not even that knowledgeable of politics, but I think socialism is only going to work in the States on any level if it's state. It's too many
yeah.
people.
I don't know enough
million
about
people.
Country,
it's
yeah.
like it's never worked ever without massive genocide. It's
so
like
it has though because like we're more socialist than you guys, for instance.
Population.
Oh, okay. So
yeah, the whole thing is when you sure. collecting money at a party, sure. collect money at a fucking football game.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
pass
yeah,
the hat around.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So it's like there's very, very successful socialist countries
yeah.
with the right population.
Oh, that's interesting.
When you start yeah. getting into numbers like 350 million, I mean.
Yeah.
Human apes are genetically predisposed to tribes of 150 people.
Yeah, sure.
So it's like when you have to start, when a Montana rancher, a San Francisco gay software engineer, and a Miami Cuban that came on a raft
yeah.
are all splitting money, that is not ending well.
Right.
No,
and
then, no.
And it's, like, that's what happens in America so much, is both, two people are arguing and they're both right.
Yeah,
is that happening
sure.
in Canada? Like,
yeah,
the Kaepernick
sure.
knee, fucking guns, all this shit. It's like, one group, it's a heroic move. One group, it's disrespectful.
Sure.
And they're both at right. And
yeah.
they're fighting over the same fucking...
Yeah.
It's like that red... Remember that dress thing that went viral?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
yeah,
the
yeah,
same
yeah.
thing. It's like, no, I swear to God, it's a fucking great dress.
Yeah. Sure. I'm going to get a drink, but the thing I'm going to say...
You one?
Yeah, sure. So, what is that?
Just any of these beers are
sure.
Brown.
So, the thing I'm going to say, and I don't want to like say a thing and then leave.
No, it's great. You're very
that,
intelligent.
Yeah.
I like you're changing yeah, my
you,
mind on certain issues.
You too. It's so fun to watch you on stage that you're when you interact with the crowd that you don't give them an easy thing, too. You often say, it's like, okay.
I like that you say I'm so funny when you introduce me. It
oh.
makes me look good.
Oh, my God, though. We've had some of that Friday early show is spectacular.
Thanks, man.
So, don't you think?
But sometimes, a lot of times, like, openers don't give you credit. They almost get like mad at you when you kill too hard. Because you're great.
Great host. Thank you.
Well, that's the difference between. I love hosting. I always said if I retired from comedy, I'd feature.
Interesting.
I don't know why people hate hosting. I love fucking
it's
hosting.
Very profitable.
I like it when it's
a skill where if you do it on television or corporate events, it pays way more than headlining.
Crosses over into all kinds of other fucking realms.
I want to go get a drink.
I'm going to go.
No, you got to give me the mic drop that you're going to give me, though.
No, it's no mic drop. It was, what was it? So something about, so you're talking about federal versus provincial and, socialism over this thing. Oh, right. This was a thing someone said to me a long time ago, is that a friend of mine went to Guatemala from Canada.
Yeah.
And they were in a village that did not have roads or sewage to it. And then the Canadian person was kind of like, oh, this is crazy. Like, why don't you guys have a road to your village? And they're like, oh, because we haven't made one. And the Canadian person's like, huh. And they go, well, what's it like in Canada? They're like, well, our government pays for roads and sewage and clean water. And then they're like, well, how do they do that? They take money off of your paycheck? And then they're like, yeah. They're like, well, that's communist. Like, what are you doing? Like, how would that, like, what if I don't use that
road? Don't you think it's cultural?
Well, totally. But then this thing was, the Canadian person's like, oh. So it's like that we were at so much further of a level of, like, taking money from our thing to do resources. But that, and the other one is this Guatemala place where there was no money off paychecks, but then there's no clean water. And so the United States is in between the Canada and there, is that, like, there's just, like, varying degrees. And I think that the United States could, like, I wish it would move a little bit more that way, because it just seems like there's people left behind that, you know, like, healthcare was, for instance.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like,
that's a bitch, though, because I think a lot of it is about tort reform and the lawsuits. I think that, like, a lot of these insurance companies are so expensive because people literally sue doctors if you say they're overweight.
See, and that's so interesting because that doesn't really happen.
Like 40 grand.
Yeah.
80 grand. Who do you... Yeah. Like, people have this thought that, like, you just make money. Like, you print it. It's like, okay, if a fat kid gets $80,000 because a doctor said he shouldn't eat Twinkies anymore, that skyrockets insurance rates. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Do people not see that?
Yeah, they don't, because they only see that own thing. It's so crazy.
Wow. No, but see, I want to be socialist.
Yeah.
It's like, I just don't see how to make it work in America. I love you, Vancouver. You're awesome. My name's Ellen Benjamin. Get home safe. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you like it, spread it, because people need to hear more about Dr. Peterson and what he's been through and what he's going through, because this will affect all of us. That's how you break an animal. You get him to accept things that aren't true until they're in a little stall in your barn. And I know that Americans probably do think differently than certain cultures. You know, we feel like freedom of speech is absolutely important to our nature. And you could see that when I was on stage. That's why I made sure I played that last thing of me closing to let people know that the show was still fun for everyone. I highlight the uncomfort. But, spread it around, subscribe, tell your friends, and much love. Treat your people well, because it's a wild ride. You know, your family, your friends, every circle that you're in, and you just see these circles getting bigger and bigger, but just make sure your smallest circle, which is yourself and your family, is taken care of, and you show your support. And then from there, go with friends, and from there, colleagues, and from there, country, their world, their, you know, but just make sure your foundation is good. And Peterson inspires me, and I'm glad I got to share that. All right, much love.